Landa Sims, the founder and director of World Stage Theater and Black History Festival Northwest, and then with the artistic director of the Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater, whose work, Been Ready, is part of the festival. Followed by, at 11:30, Art Focus, we hear about Portland multidisciplinary artist David Eckard about his show Placards and Placeholders. And now, stage and studio.
I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to original music by Portland musician and composer David Ornette Cherry. Hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today we're featuring the Black History Festival Northwest 2020. It's a celebration of culture and heritage created by Shalonda Sims, and we're going to be talking with her. She's the creator also of Who I Am Celebrating Me, a Black History play that's part of the festival. We'll also be talking about Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater and their new production, which is included in the Black History Festival Northwest 2020. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Demi Roberts. With me in my studio are Shalonda Sims of Black History Festival Northwest 2020.
Hello.
Welcome back. And also here is Olienka Akinjiola of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater. And welcome to you, too.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you on stage and studio. And Olienka, we haven't actually met before. I have interviewed you by phone before, so it's a thrill to have you in person.
Yeah, it's great. Nice to finally see you.
So, Shalonda, I want to start with you. Gosh, how many times have we talked about Who I Am Celebrating Me?
I don't know. A lot.
Because it's, you know, it's something you started 15 years ago. And this is now the 14th annual Black History Festival, which, you know, is like bigger and bigger every single year. And 15 years ago, you realized there were no Black History performing arts events at that time.
That is correct. There was the Martin Luther King celebration in January and nothing in February.
And so since that time, have you seen, you know, I mean, besides your efforts, have you seen it grow?
It has grown so much. And since we started the festival 3 years ago, even before we started the festival, there was hardly any events. But once we started the festival, you can literally find something to do in Portland metropolitan area almost every day of the month.
Which is pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible.
Actually. Do you attribute that growth to perhaps your activism?
I hope so. Yeah, and that would be great because that's what I originally wanted 15 years ago, is for it to be a celebration to, you know, bring awareness to the Black experience.
It's grown so much. I mean, now it's a month long, and you've got also the Who I Am Celebrating Me theater piece, which we'll talk about soon, but there are so many family events, story time for kids, the August Wilson competition, even a scavenger hunt and a game show. Wow. So, you know, tell us about some of these activities.
So we really wanted to make it family friendly, all ages, where anyone could attend the events. Because again, we're about art, education, advocacy. That's our mission for the festival. So we have dodgeball, the Black History game show, as you mentioned, and that is between the Black Student Union groups at different high schools. We have about 5 high schools involved this year. And then story time with Nikki Brown Clown, who is one of the only African-American clowns in Portland, and she was, you know, part of the Clown Association Rose Festival. I might be saying it wrong, but you could usually see her in the Rose Parade.
Did not even know, yeah, that there was only one Black clown, yeah, but also a female clown in Portland. So that's pretty incredible. Yeah. So do you feel like you must have a lot of community input when you're creating this festival?
There are usually 10 committee members, and they represent different businesses, organizations, artists, leaders in the Portland metropolitan area. We come together earlier in the year, or maybe, you know, summer, and start planning for the festival. Yeah, so everyone has input. It takes a lot of people to pull this out off, to, you know, get things done, to figure out what activities we want to present for the year.
I think that's really a different model than a lot of theater groups especially follow, because often it's like, oh, we're going to create community groups and this is what we think the community would like, but you actually ask the community.
Yes, that was one of the things that we really wanted to zone in on, because we know that, like you said, we can by default just speak for people and think that we know what they want, instead of asking, hey, what do you think? And bringing in just different people who don't necessarily think the same way I do, but it makes for a better festival, I feel.
I have to agree, you know, because then you already have people attending the festival too.
Very true. Very true. It's, yeah, you know, because then they have their own network, and there are people who I don't know. I don't know every Black person in Portland. And and so they, you know, they bring their people in, other people bring their people in, and we get to know one another. That's the cool thing. We get to know and meet people who we don't know.
I love that you said that, because that's often the expectation, because right, the numbers are so small here for all, you know, communities of color. It's like, don't you know this person? It's like,
no, I don't.
You might, but, right, you know, you never know, right? Right. So, yeah, so I want to start talking about Who I Am Celebrating Me, because that's also grown, you know, as a theater piece.
Yes.
It's a musical play. So how is it different this year?
Well, you know, it changes every year. And we like to make sure that we're bringing in current events. And so that's really how it changes. We also change the structure of, we may have done a piece one way the previous year, and then we'll take that piece and dissect it. You'll see a lot of that this year. Take that piece and dissect it and totally change it to where maybe one person was saying it before and now it's the whole cast. So, you know, just different dynamics with text, adding different characters in, because there are so many stories from the Black community, Black history. There are so many stories to be told that, you know, we can't just highlight Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman, although we do mention them, you know, but we also want to mention the more militant Malcolm X and W.E.B. Du Bois, all the other voices that are usually silence because it's uncomfortable.
I have to say that's great to be able to, because there's so many people that made history.
Yes.
You know, and you go back to like the 17th century, don't you?
We go back to Africa. That's where we begin, because we want to, you know, dispel this belief that Black history started in America. But we were Black before we got here. So we go all the way back to Africa, and we celebrate that rich heritage of when we were kings and queens and, you know, our empires before it was colonized.
Well, that's a tall order, you know, for a 2-hour show,
I know.
You know. But that's amazing.
We try to bring it in. And the great thing is to see the young people, like some of our cast members have been in it 14 years, and to see how they didn't really know or understand what they were saying or performing when they were younger, to now they're older and they totally get it. It makes me very proud.
Well, you also have whole families in the show too.
Yeah.
So a lot of the young people grew up with this, and they're probably like adults now.
Yes, yes. Young adults, they are 26. Yeah. So it's amazing, because they're also very aware, socially conscious, and they are able to have discussions in their schools and to advocate for themselves. So it's not just, again, I like to tell people, it's not just entertainment. It is definitely education. and you can take it with you and apply it to daily life.
The musical play, Who I Am, Celebrating Me, is at the IFCC, the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, this year. And it runs February 6th through the 16th. And there are student matinees at 10:30 a.m. and noon. And the evening shows are at 7 p.m. And the Sunday matinees are at 7:30 p.m. And you can find out more at worldstagetheater.org, as well as, I think it's blackhistoryfestival.org,
yes,
too. And I also have that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Are your family members in Who I Am this year?
Of course they are. Yes, all three of my kids are in it.
Well, they're so talented, you know?
Yes, I know. Even when they go off to college, they're like, okay, I'm going to college. I'm like, don't you want to come back and perform? So they haven't gotten off the hook yet.
So they have to come back in February?
They come back and perform, yes.
Got to take a break and do a show. Why not? What are some of the other highlights of the Black History Festival you want to give a shout out to?
Well, we just had our art installation and reception yesterday by Bobby Fowler. It was amazing. And it's still up. It will be in IFCC in the gallery all month long. So if you get a chance, come by, check it out. They're all local artists. Their art is amazing. And then, you know, we have Rock the Mic Night. So that's for like open mic night for anyone who thinks that they might be able to rock the mic.
When is that?
That is on the 12th, 19th, and 26th. So it's every Wednesday night. Yeah. Last Sunday, Laugh Last Sunday, which is on the 23rd. And we had the Blazer Black History Month game, but that is full. And I mentioned dodgeball. We're playing dodgeball on the 17th, and that's at Sky Zone in Vancouver, Washington.
I hated dodgeball. I have to confess.
But it's on the trampoline, so it makes it really fun, you know, like you think you're going to hit someone, and then you fall because you can't.
Oh, my God. You're not selling me on that one, but all the other ones sound really great, Shalon. I'm sorry. Well, you know, what I'm also impressed by is that the festival stretches out to Vancouver, North Plains, Troutdale, as well as Portland.
Yes.
It's like a far reach.
Yes. We try to reach every region in Portland. That's why it's Black History Festival Northwest. We have people in Seattle, someone from Sacramento attending. So yeah, it really is a wide net that we've spread.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank
because
you.
I know how hard you've worked, and this is a big endeavor, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
Well, if you just tuned in, this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts talking with Shalonda Sims of the Black History Festival Northwest 2020 and also Who I Am Celebrating Me. And we're going to be talking with Olianka Okinjiola of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater about her dance show. It's called Ben Ready, which is featured in the festival. And you can find out more about these events at blackhistoryfestival.org as well as rejoicediasporadance.org. And I have all those links at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Olianka, you just started. I know. When did you start Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater?
I started it when I moved back to Oregon in 2014.
I remember, you know, just seeing the name going, this is going to be something special. Why did you leave Oregon?
I was back and forth between New York and Oregon for about 5 years. I went back to actually do my Master's of Fine Arts in Choreography and Performance at SUNY Brockport.
Did you grow up in Portland?
I did not. I grew up in New York, born in Albany, New York, and lived in Pennsylvania, and then was back in New York for those years of grad school.
Well, what brought you to Portland then?
Oh, well, love. But my husband, Rudy Slazewski, was touring a lot with Tapwater and Scott Pemberton. So it kept me in Portland, or kept me coming back.
That's sweet. That's a sweet story. But amid that, when you finally decided to just land here, right, mm-hmm. You started a dance company. Why?
I did because I saw a need. First of all, Suba at New Expressive Works, she offered me a residency there. and I based the work on Maya Angelou. And this was just after she died, and she passed as I was moving my things back to Oregon, and that solidified, you know, I need to make this work about her and her contributions to the arts and to the culture of this country. And after making that work, then the dancers kind of rallied around me and wanted more. And I also didn't see choreographers like me making work. I didn't see spaces for me to make work. So Rejoice came out of the need for me as a creative person to have space to make and to make the kind of work that reflected who I am, the culture that I come from, and the social justice issues that I wanted to put forth.
You know, it's so great that Suba Ganesan, who's also the creative laureate of Portland, welcomed you at New Expressive Works. Did you find that the dance community in general did welcome you?
The dance community was welcoming, but coming from New York, it felt not as connected as I hoped it would be. So I found all these different great pockets, but not as much conversation between the pockets was happening.
I think that's important to note, and maybe that's something that can happen more, you know. When you were getting your master's in dance, did you specialize in African dance?
I specialized in African and African diaspora within a very heavy modern dance program, which most dance programs are in the United States.
And so your next show is called Been Ready, and it sounds very personal. It's got 5 stories about race, gender, and bias. So that's not usually tackled in dance, I have to tell you.
Absolutely, yes. This work looks at our 5 different personal stories as choreographers, and I wanted to challenge everyone. First, about the saying, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And what are we staying ready for, and what made us ready for these moments that we're tackling. And everyone is looking at our different cultural backgrounds, and not just African American, because we also have choreographers that do not identify as POC. They're white, but Jewish American also. But how does whiteness affect how they move through the world, and how does blackness affect how we move, or black femaleness affect how we move through the world?
Well, What does Been Ready ultimately say through the dance?
Ooh, this is a great question. I can definitely speak to my work because it focuses on the black female experience and how microaggressions affect us at a chakra level. So going from each chakra from root to crown, but also transmuting those experiences to not exhibit black pain, but black triumph, black female triumph. And we have 5 black females in the piece, and we're creating this community on stage as we move through each of these stages and transmute these experiences of microaggressions.
That is a heavy topic. How long are the dance pieces?
My particular work is about 20 minutes, and they range between 10 and 20 minutes.
I mean, that's a full evening of dance then.
Yes, it will be. There's an intermission, though.
Well, and you're performing at the Portland Institute, PICA, Portland Institute of Contemporary Art. Tell us about, you know, that space and how are you transforming it?
It's going to be transformed as we move in for Tech Week. And the show is actually going to be in their larger warehouse. And I think there's also art installations happening at the same time. So we do have the challenge of how do we take this enormous space and bring all the energy in, building a stage and audience around that space so the energy can still be felt and not be dispersed so largely.
Well, it sounds really beautiful. And you can see Been Ready by Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater on February 14th through the 16th at the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art in Portland. And more info about that, as well as tickets, at rejoicediasporadance.com. So Shalonda and Olienka, I'm just wondering, how did you two meet? Did we discuss that?
We did not. No, I met her through the Shakespeare Festival with Portland Playhouse. Yes, mm-hmm. I was teaching, and I believe you were assisting that year. Yes. And then we met up again because we wanted to collaborate. It hasn't happened yet, but I said, well, you definitely have to be a part of the festival because your dancing is amazing, so we wanted to help. push it.
I think that's a lovely idea for you to collaborate in the future, though. But this is a great way to start, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. I reached out to Shalonda because I'm a newcomer to Portland, and I wanted to make sure that I'm connecting with the people that are from here and know the history a lot more deeply than I do.
Did you find the Portland to be different culturally for people of color, especially for the Black community, than New York?
Absolutely.
You know, that was a loaded question.
Yes, the history of Oregon is very unique, especially around the exclusion laws and then also the treatment of the Asian and Asian diaspora community as well. And that's a very different perspective than New York. And also the daily facings of, you know, the passive aggressiveness, where you can't always point out the racism and microaggressions. It sometimes takes you a second, but it's, you know, the saying, it's death by 1,000 knives.
Ouch. But, you know, that gave you a lot of inspiration for the piece that you're doing in Been Ready, it sounds like.
It continually does. Yeah. And sometimes it takes, you know, a moment to come back and realize what happened and how to process.
I really like that you are examining that through your dance. So I'm glad you two got together, and I hope that you do collaborate. Is there any other, you know, what are your hopes for your company and your company for 2020? You want to take that on, Olienka?
Ooh, that's a great question. In 2020, I do hope to make more bridges in different areas, not just dance, but I know Ben Reddy talks about issues of mental health and connecting with mental health providers that serve and are people of color as well. And we also look at domestic assault and connecting, once people see the show, be able to connect to community organizations and other outlets, so that people who come to the show, you know, if things are triggering, they can find mental health providers that look like them, or to find domestic survivors or support groups, so that those experiences are channeled and people don't have to sit with the discomfort that we so often do.
And how about you, Shalonda? What are your hopes for your company for 2020?
Our hope is to find space. We're ready for our own space. We need office space, but who doesn't, right? But we are growing at such a rate where we need rehearsal space, we need performance space. We've recently taken on the August Wilson Monologue Competition, so we are in need of our own place, and we know that is a conversation that all artists or most small organizations are having.
Yeah, and that's like one of the biggest conversations, actually. Mm-hmm. And I wish you well on that,
Thank you.
But I also like the fact that you do go to different places, too. You know?
Yes, we have traveled so many years doing the performance in different spaces, and it's great. Right now, we have the privilege of being in IFCC for the entire month. And I tell you, to be able to go there, do what we need to do. We don't have to pack up and leave right away, or wonder if we can get in, or when we can get in, or have to wait outside. It's just a different experience. And it's a shame that no Black arts organization has their own space here.
Yeah, well, that's maybe what IFCC should be. Anywho, Shalonda Sims of the Black History Festival Northwest 2020 and Who I Am Celebrating Me, thank you for being here today. And you can find out more at blackhistoryfestival.org. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And Olienka Akanjiola of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater and her show Ben Ready. Thank you for telling us about your work and a little bit about yourself, too. And you can find out more about her show at rejoicediasporadance.org. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, D-May.
And I have all those links at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I really appreciate you both coming here to my office studio today. Next up, a short calendar of more performing arts events, so stay tuned. Before we go today, some announcements. On February 7th and 8th at 7:30 p.m., Many Hats Collaboration presents The Undertaking, a physical theater work that portrays the end-of-life care of an elder. The Undertaking will be presented for a limited engagement at Bag and Baggage Productions in Hillsborough. The show combines dance, theater, and live music by Northwest Piano Trio to deliver an interdisciplinary performance using the music of Shostakovich's Piano Trio No. 2, paired with original text by Emily Gregory. That's The Undertaking on February 7th and 8th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at baggage.org. On Sunday, February 16th at 2 to 4 p.m., a reading by writers at Tabor Space on 55th and Belmont. It's called An Afternoon of Love, Laughter, and Bodacious Book Fair with writer Sandra DeHellen, Louisa Kelly, Jazzy Mitchell, Denny Starr, Jane Cuthbertson, and Casey Luck. It's a free event with chocolate and prize drawings. That's February 16th at 2 to 4 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. And finally, actor, dancer, and writer Samson Searoth presents his personal movement piece titled 8-24-9, Secret Asian Man, on February 8th and 9th at 7:30 p.m. at Apano, the Asian Pacific Network of Oregon, at 81st and Division in Portland. The show is a movement piece in response to his dual identity of being Laotian American. The title 8-24-9 refers to the bombing missions in Laos during the Vietnam War. Bombs were dropped every 8 minutes, 24 hours a day for 9 years. Tickets are available for 8-24-9 at boxofficetickets.com or fertilegroundpdx.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. Hear this show again on stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. We've been listening to music by Portland musician David Ornette Cherry. Hear his music at davidornettecherry.com.
I'm Bob Madar. Join me for episode 5 of the third season of Local Folks Podcast and meet Rick, the manager of Project Action at the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center. Rick was formerly homeless and now devotes his time to helping local folks who are homeless change their lives and find employment and housing. You can find Local Folks at kbu.fm. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folk.
Coming up next at 11:30 is Art Focus.
Sunday, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my whoa, 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 Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Hi, you are listening to KBOO-FM, and this is Art Focus with guest host Kristen Derryberry. Today we are speaking with David Eckert. The current show, Placards and Placeholders, is up now until February 15th at PCC Sylvania's Northview Gallery. Gallery hours are from 8 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and 11 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. So, hi.
Hi.
So I would like to first introduce you to our listeners through talking about your process of sculpture and object making and how it relates to performance and vice versa.
Okay, great. Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me in to talk about this show. It's funny, it's been a sort of transformative, you know, arc of work. I initially started doing pieces that really inferred use or function. They were based off the body, like, you know, mid-90s, late-90s work. So you'd look at them, and you couldn't help but have some sort of kinesthetic bounce with them. Oh, they strap here, they rest here, they, you know, they do these different things, you know, directly linked to the body. And I remember being really, really hesitant about